will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm not in trouble or anything. I'm not trying to bother anybody up. I want to publicly say again how much I love my wife and how valuable she is in our ministry and what we do. And God, I think that Michelle, a sweet little Michelle, would hang around with me for 40 years and put up with the crap. You know, I went through a life transformation about year 2000. Well, it was longer. I went through several transformations. I got radically born again in 1987. I tell everybody it did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It was instantaneous transformation. Now, it was a gradual process, but it's instantaneous. I went from death into life. I went from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, and I knew that I had, and I couldn't even explain that to anybody. That happened in early 1988 to me. And then I went through another transformation in my life when I was sued by the American Civil Liberties Union in 1997 for having prayer with our football team. And it was a transformation in that it was a different kind of Christianity. By that I mean I went from a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it Christianity that when I got saved that I was brought up in to a whoa, what's going on around here? How's this? Why is this happening to me? Christianity, time to stand up and fight Christianity, and a transformation that took place. And I got to tell you, when I went to that transformation in my own life from a blab it and grab it to a warrior approach to Christianity, I didn't know very many people like me. I didn't know anybody that saw it like I saw it. And I was really, 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 really fighting the battle alone with my wife standing beside me, probably not even understanding what I was doing as well. But she was supportive, and he would find a wife, findeth a good thing. And here I am 20 years, whatever many years down the road of this Pass the Salt ministries we've started. And I'm in a constant state of, I don't know the word. I got in trouble yesterday on Facebook because I was driving down the road. I'm not going to show you the video. I was driving down the road and I went by my former high school where I went to high school, and I looked and there was something going on. I wasn't sure what it was. There's a group of people standing here, and then down this road, there was another group of people, and then another group of people. And then the other entrance to the school is blocked by a school bus. You couldn't go in the other entrance. So I thought, what's going on here? So I pulled in, turned back around and pulled in and talked to the people. Guys got an mask on. And so you can't really hear it. It's raining. They got a mask on. I said, hey, what's going on? And he's standing, he's got a walkie-talkie. And he said, people are bringing back the materials back to school today. It's raining. You're standing under an umbrella. And I said, okay, so what's going on? He said, well, they pull in here and then they give me their name. And then I walkie-talkie their name down to the next station. And hey, this is Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson's bringing his books. And Joe Johnson would drive down there and they would pull up. And then, I don't know, there's another station where I don't know whether they wipe the books. I don't know what they do. And they take the books and then they go down to another station. And so I filmed it. And I said, what's going on here? And of course, trust me, the last group that you ever want to pick a fight with in America is teachers. Teachers are the absolute, they're always, always overworked, underappreciated, sacrificial, like nobody in the world. Trust me, I've been in that environment, right? So I posted my little video on, it was a live video, just showing people. I said, listen, folks, you can't even drive to the school, get out of the car, walk into the school and take your books back. You can't even get out of your car. You can't, they walkie-talkie you to the next station. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to make it fun in school. I was making fun of how crazy. What is wrong with us? I was asking, what's wrong with us? Hang on a minute, Rod. The same people that can't get out of the car to take their books back probably just came from Kroger's or Lowe's or Home Depot or something. They just came from someplace, but they can't get out of their car and take their books into the school. Go ahead, Roger.
No, I almost can't stop laughing. I'm sorry.
And so then all these people, they're mad at me. I'm making fun of those wonderful teachers. You know what? Those wonderful teachers, they didn't get to say goodbye to their students. They didn't get to have I'm not making it up. They didn't get to have their end of the year parties. And so I'm under assault. And my poor little wife, she said to me, "Why are you always picking fights?" I said, "Honey, I wasn't picking a fight. I was exposing truth. I didn't make fun of anybody. I didn't mention anybody. I said, look how they have got us programmed." I used to be like this. I used to be one of those people. You better hear me. I used to be one of those people who said, live and let live. Leave it alone. And do you see where that's gotten us? Do you see where that's gotten us? So I said to Michelle, "Listen, I'm sorry, honey. When I see something, I'm not going to be quiet about it. I don't care who I tick off. I don't care who I tick off. When I see something that is out of sorts, I'm going to say something about it. And I couldn't care less whether they like me or not. We are in this mess that we're in because we have been silent. And all this crap goes on because we won't open our mouth because we might offend somebody."
Isn't that what they told us after 9/11? See something, say something.
Yeah, that's not what they want, Larry. In fact, Larry, we do know this, right? The only thing censored on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitter, the only thing censored is truth. If you're on the left, you can promote anything you want to, and it won't be censored. Boy, if you come in with anything that's not on the left, you're censored, right? So, folks, we're in a war, man. We're in a war. We are in a war, and we just still don't seem to understand that we are. That's an information war, and excuse me, it's a war over truth. And I don't want to come in here and be sing the same song over and over and over, but it is the song, folks. It is the song. It's it. It is. Oh, man. You think I try to make enemies? Didn't I want to make enemies?
Dave?
Yeah, Rod.
Well, I just want to say you're not alone in your thinking. Whether it's guys or gals on this huddle or this queue, and I'm not here for rah-rah on you, but we're all thinking this craziness, and you just happen to be a little more open in discussing it. I understand, yeah. Michelle. I understand that, but it's who you are. It's who we are. We see these things, and yep. I think God, He's opened our eyes. This is not rebellious spirit. This is not, I want to pick a fight with everybody. This is when you go into the church and you sit in the pew and you hear the preaching and you're just so stirred you want to stand up and shout back at them. What are you talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's deep in our hearts. It's deep in our soul. Maybe we're part of the remnant. Maybe we're not. But this is not where we're all just going out looking to stir shit up all the time. That's not what it's about.
No,
feelings, they come from our heart.
Because Roger, I'm outside of a public school. In the public schools, they don't even understand civics. They're worried about their cupcake parties, and our rights are being stolen, and they don't get it. It's a great frustration. So I could quietly take that pill too, but I won't do it. So I started out saying this. God bless my wife, because she wasn't cut out for it. She wasn't cut out for it. But man, oh man, I crawled out of bed this morning and said, "I've been the luckiest guy in the world. I've been able to go through this thing with you for almost 41 years. I don't want to die because they say you're not married in heaven. I don't want to go to heaven without her. I want to be able to go to heaven and hold her and hug her and walk around with her. I think somehow that's going to happen. I don't know. They say there's no marrying and giving of marriage in heaven. Michelle and I, the two of us are one, so I haven't yet figured that one out. Hey, I want to give you a heads up. Chad's having an event this weekend, right, Chad? Did you get up this morning, buddy? Are you all caught up here with your sleep and everything? Aren't you having an event at your house, Chad? And didn't I? Well, I keep asking you, and then I won't shut up and let you answer. Got to see if you're in here first.
Yeah, I'm in here.
Okay, buddy, what's up? What's going on there?
We're having our regular old meeting. Friday night, kicking off at 8 p.m. on Hamburger Cookout, and we have a lot of newcomers coming this time, and so I'm grateful that you know, I think people are waking up. They're getting tired of just being cooped up like a bunch of chickens. And so, no pun intended, but so I think they're having an opportunity now to expand themselves and expand the kingdom here. That's what
I'm important to. And you know from last weekend how electric that fellowship is and how much we need that, don't we, Chad?
Yeah, and you can see there, even at Sky High, when everybody came together there, you still had those lingering. People was like, well, I guess we're going to leave. And, you know, an hour later, they're still like, well, I think we're trying to leave, you know. And it's hard to leave that environment, you know. And it's really hard to leave that environment.
Amen. So get down to Chad's. If you're anywhere near it, just get a hold of him. Or you don't know how to get a hold of Chad, get a hold of me. I'll connect you if you're in Oklahoma or anywhere down there and around those states where it's warm and dry. Chad's going to be there Friday, Saturday, and get down to be part of it. And I got Jeff Klein's doing the same thing up in Mount Vernon. Hey, Jeff, I don't know if you know this. Dorita and OJ and Linda Tibbs and John Brockoff, they're driving from Kentucky to Mount Vernon, Ohio this weekend to be part of it. And you know, those of you who are just kind of casual observers and watchers of the program, you don't know the quality. Daggone. I wish I had some way I could help you to understand. The quality of the salt of the earth people that we're connected with is just unbelievable. Bob and Tammy Evans yesterday drove 2.5 hours to our home, to Sky High, because I mentioned when we were at Sky High this last weekend that I want to erect a 50-foot cross on the top of it, a big cross, lighted cross that they'll see all the way down the lake. And I don't, how do I do it? And Gary Donahoe was telling me how to do it. And I talked a little bit about that yesterday. And Bob Evans, who's just a silent assassin, a Mr. Fix-It kind of guy, he said yesterday, he says, Coach, I've been thinking about it for months. I've been waiting for somebody to give me the okay. And he drove all the way over here yesterday, did some measurements. We're going to get a cross erected. It, folks, this, we have got to get out of the mindset. The church is us. We are the church. We are it. It's not a place that you go to. You can call it to church if you want to, but I want to ask you something. During this time that we've been locked down here, what's been going on with your church? If that is really your church, are you fellowshipping? Are you sitting down? Are you assembling yourselves together or not? Is it just some facade of a place that you go because you've just always gone there? And I want to say with all urgency that please understand, things are going to get worse, not better. And I am an eternal cockeyed optimist. I believe the glass is always 3/4 full. I always believe that. But I'm telling you, things are going, it ain't going to be better, man. It isn't going to get better for a while. And you better be prepared and hunkered down and have people that you're in fellowship with over and over and over and over and over and over and over. I keep saying that same thing. And so, you know, we're working hard on, maybe hard's not the right word. We're working on what's that called, Gary? The walkie-talkie system, the ham radio. We're working on trying to get us all connected. We got things that are going on behind the scenes. Folks, listen, I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. I wrote my commentary today, and I'm not going to get into it. I don't want to go there today. The American dollar is dead. It is dead. Folks, listen to me. The American dollar is dead. I don't care how many of them you have. It's dead. And I want you to think about this as I showed you, talked about on the show earlier. Think this. We are $21 trillion in debt. In other words, we got to pay $21 trillion before we get caught up, okay? Before we get even. However, listen, there's only $1.87 trillion in existence. Every nickel, dime, quarter, penny, $5 bill, $10 bill, you called every one of them on, you piled them up, it's $1.87 trillion. Yet we're $21 trillion in debt, and the stock market's worth $33 trillion, and real estate's worth $58 trillion, and Social Security is $220 And there's only $2 trillion. Somebody's playing a trick on us, folks. There is not enough money to count for all this money that people think they have. Something's going to happen. And I don't know what it is. And I don't know what to tell you. But as I said in the commentary today, if you think your money is safe in the bank, you are the biggest of fools. You're the biggest of fools. And if you think your retirement is safe because you put in 35 years as a teacher and you got that job, if you think that's safe, I don't know what to tell you. There's something going on. There's some type of reset that's coming. I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do. Okay, I don't know what to do. But I'm going to tell you, the world as we know it, especially the financial world as we know it, it is right now forever changed. We just don't know it yet. We just don't know it. And I don't know what's on the other side of it. But listen, if you can't hold it, you don't own it. You don't own it. If you can't hold it, you don't own it. Land, food, metals, water, ammo, guns, cars. If you don't own it, if you can't hold it, you don't own it. Trust me on that. I don't know the answer, but I know that the big lie's coming down. I want to put one more thing out, and then I'll open it up. I got some good stuff for you to do for today. We need to watch for the word mutation. Mutation. Because I feel deep in my bones that all of a sudden, soon and very soon, remember now, if the financial world is upset, if the powers that be have known for a long time that our debt is unpayable, which it is. Again, we only got $2 trillion and we're $21 trillion in debt. We only have $2 trillion. I'm not talking about, you get what I'm saying, right? Physical money is $2 trillion. So they know something's about to, they know this can't keep going on. This isn't going to work. And so you ask yourself, was the pandemic part of the plan to restructure the finances of the world without admitting that they had screwed it up to begin with? It's the virus that caused it. Could it be this was just a first step to soften us up for a valuation of everything that's going on? Mutation, hear me. I saw it today. I saw that word today. Mutation. That coronavirus, that thing's about to mutate. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, it is. They got us so conditioned, so everything. Boy, at the end of the summer, what's going to happen? That daggone coronavirus, it's mutated. Now it's coming back. We thought we had it stamped out, but it mutated. Watch that word. Because money makes the world go round, and we are in dire circumstances in regards to money. China's broke. China owns all of our debt. We're broke. Wars are made out of that kind of stuff, folks. That's what causes wars. I'll shut up a minute. Anybody want to come in and piggyback that before I get going here?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
It's Daryl, Allen's buddy. It'd be easy right now for them, too, if it really all they'd have to say is, look, it's all you people that aren't social distancing, you know, and they try to do the whole lockdown thing. You guys weren't listening. Try to do the fear thing. It'd be easy for them to place all the blame on people like us whose church hasn't closed, you know.
Yes, sir. Did you see church down in Mississippi, was it Mississippi, got burned to the ground yesterday?
Yeah.
Yep, right.
And you noticed the people couldn't spell.
I did notice.
Hey, let's talk about, Coach mentioned mutation. Let's talk about that for a second, because that is in the world news. A very lengthy article came out in an Indian newspaper yesterday that told about what's happening in northern China on the Russian border. And there's been a reemergence of the coronavirus. Now, if we believe what the Chinese authorities say, it's been 46 new cases in one day.
Hmm.
And that alarmed them enough. I mean, out of a population of billion plus, almost 2 billion people, 46 new cases alarmed them. 100 million people in China are under lockdown again because of these 46 cases. Now, the article said that the genome the structure of the virus was the same in northern China as the virus genome that has been going through Russia, which has been devastating, and they're going through what the United States went through a month and a half ago right now. But the point is they have evidently done the scientific study to trace the genome and track them to compare them, and they say they're the same genome, same exact virus. It hasn't that virus is the same, but they did not in the article say whether it was the same as the genome of the virus that went through Wuhan. They didn't tell us whether it's a little different virus than the one that went through Wuhan than the one that's going through whatever the heck the name of that province in China is now. So you're right that this mutation thing is an aspect of this thing that they're used everything else about this virus as a political weapon. They're going to use that as a political weapon too.
Yes, Larry. What if it's not really a mutation of this virus, but rather the release of another biological weapon, and they just tell us it's a mutation? See, we're talking about evil people here, right, folks? Don't lose sight of it. Don't lose sight of what we're dealing with here. They are capable of anything. And the United States of America, can we say this, is financially on its knees. And we're very, very vulnerable in a lot of different ways, from attack. I'm not trying to scare anybody. We're all big boys here. And for us to be able to understand that we're not to be ignorant of his devices, what is going on? I said to Michelle today as I was getting ready to come down into my multi-million-dollar studio, man, there's something buzzing. There is something buzzing. I don't know what it is.
Hey, Coach.
And yeah,
Coach, we hold the key, this whole thing. It's us guys in this queue right here. We hold the key. We can, through the power of Christ, we can rebuke every demonic force that's pushing these bunch of elites to push this back, push all this vaccine, push these new viruses out. We can ask the Lord right now to hold back everything that they're planning to do and let it boomerang right back in their face.
That's what the scripture says. Why don't you pray that, Alan?
Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We ask you right now, forgive us of all of our sins. Forgive us where we fail you. Father, we rebuke every demonic activity that's coming against this nation, that's coming against our world. Father, we ask you to use the restraining power of the Holy Ghost to hold everything back that the enemy's planning right now. We ask to expose every plan and destroy every plan right now of the enemy, Lord. Help us to be motivated. Help us to get excited and encouraged about the days that we're living in, and help us to get out here and preach this gospel even harder. And Father, we ask you to remove the scales off people's eyes that they may see that the King is the great King. Is coming soon. Lord, help us to walk in your will and your way, Lord, and protect us and remove everything that's supposed to bring us hurt, harm, and danger that the enemy's planning. Father, you already see the plan, and Father, we ask you to stop every plan right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother, that's right. I ain't going down whimpering, man. What a time to be alive. Oh, I still want to get into the gifts. But I got to show you a one-minute video real quick. It's a Sheldon or Jared. Is it Sheldon? I think it's the fourth one down. It says one-minute video. One-minute video. Just again, last thing on the virus, and then I'm gonna, I'll get off of that. I want to talk about gifts. I saw Bob Evans' gift yesterday. I saw Tammy Evans. Evans's gift yesterday. I see gifts all the time. I don't think we see them. I don't think we get, okay, Lord, I'm going to get there. I want you to watch this 1 minute video. It's just 1 minute, 1 minute video. Again, what more evidence do you need? And I thought it was appropriate that there I was yesterday out in front of a high school. With the educated people are out in front of the high school, scrolling down a little bit. Hey, pull that back up there, Sheldon. And they don't see it. They're educated and they don't see it. They don't understand civil rights. They don't get it. They don't get what's going on. Just sheeple being told by the government what to do, and they do it. It's everywhere. We've been conditioned that way. And as I said yesterday, when our government's evil, if evil people, Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If our counsel's ungodly, what do we expect to have happen?
Do you expect the Chinese people to do the right thing? Do you really expect the lost Nancy Pelosi to do the right thing? Do you really expect lost Kevin, what's his name, Schiff? You really expect him to do the, you really expect lost Barack Hussein Obama to do the right thing? Do you really believe lost Hillary and Bill Clinton are going to do the right thing? Do we, what is wrong with us, church, that we don't understand? Go down. Dr. Alvin Moss reveals just 1 minute video, just a 1 minute video about the flu vaccine. Do we not understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places? Do we not understand that the kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed? And do we not understand that the kings of this earth are demonic forces that are in place because the church is withdrawn and will not get engaged in the battle? Do we not understand that? Do you not understand that the demonic forces are an unruly child with no parent to keep them in their place? Do we not understand it? I mean, it baffles me. The Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, is paralyzed, limp, in a coma, encouraging Christians to follow ungodly rulers, ungodly leadership. This is a 1 minute video, Dr. Alvin Moss just talking about a flu vaccine. Just 1 minute. Go ahead and play it there, Sheldon. Hang on. The churches will tell people to get vaccines. The churches will tell people to get vaccines. You get what I'm telling you? The church won't rise up and say no. The church will lead the charge. The church pastors will be so proud to be out in front of everybody getting their vaccine, being good, obeying the government. A wicked, evil government, I dare say. Go ahead, a minute. Listen closely.
So if I could just talk to you for a minute about the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine happens to be the vaccine that causes the most injury in this country. Senator Romano, the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, 40% of all vaccinations in this country are flu shots, but 60% of all the compensations are for the flu vaccine. So a disproportionate number of the vaccine-related injuries are the flu shot. It's been recommended to you that you get the.
Do you get what he just said? Most of the people who take the flu shot end up with another problem from taking the flu shot. This is medical science. Only 40% of the flu shots are ever effective. Top number, ever effective. 40%. Okay. 40%. Go ahead.
The flu shot, but I don't know if you're aware of the fact the CDC statistics are that every year they look at vaccine effectiveness. For this particular year, the vaccine effectiveness is 48%. Look at the scientific literature on the Cochrane database. They say the evidence to support giving the flu vaccine is moderate to weak. It is not strong evidence. They say the evidence to support giving the flu vaccine to people over the age of 65 is not there. It's inconclusive. So a lot of the things that we've been told as Americans with regard to vaccination are not really based on the science.
So a lot of the things that we've been told as Americans with regard to vaccination are not really based on the science.
I don't want physicians, I don't think it's right that physicians should be forcing patients to receive a vaccine that potentially could have severe injuries when the person is healthy. I mean, what is so sad is somebody who's healthy, and I know an employee at Jefferson Medical Center up in Pennsylvania who got Guillain-Barré as a result of a flu shot that the hospital required her to get when she was perfectly healthy and then had a 9-month illness before she recovered. That was not her choice. Guess what? Jefferson Medical Center no longer requires flu shots.
I'm sorry, that was a freeze up. I don't know whether it's on my end or whether it's on, I don't know, right? So there you go, right? Science is lying. Why is science lying? Science is lying because the kings of this world are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. There are ungodly people in control of science, folks. I mean, come on. It's not fun for us to admit it, is it? It's not fun.
Dave.
Yeah.
This bill that's supposed to be, that they're wanting to get passed, you know, includes faith-based organizations. There's for I don't know, listening to you talk, and almost makes me feel like they're going to use the churches to help push us into or convince us to get our vaccinations, get the Christian community to do it, since the churches have bowed down to close. So in order to reopen, we need to get our shots, and you can just come down here to the church, and we got a couple nurses down here, and we're just going to get you shots, and then you can come in and worship.
Amen.
You know,
can anybody see that?
No, I
know. Isn't that the same road that Margaret Sanger used with the black pastors to get the black ladies to line up so they can euthanize them so they couldn't have children? It's the same thing.
It is.
Hey, Coach, Mike Adams just did an interview with a doctor on this whole vaccine issue, and she wrote a book, and the thing has gone viral now in several different languages, and Facebook has shut it down. They will not let it be disseminated.
Really?
Yeah.
Good old Facebook, huh? Wow, Jen. Well, I'm telling you, man. I don't want to get bogged down on this.
Hold on, Dave. Dave, one minute.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just going to say, you know, at this point, we've seen, I think, fair enough. I've tried to sit back and really look at both sides of this because, I don't have a horse in the game. I don't have a reduced immune system, nor am I old or nor am I young. So I'm in the middle of the pack. So I'm just trying to look at this objectively, but honestly, right at this point, if you're a vaccine person, you believe it like many in my family do. They will argue with you till you're blue in the teeth. I can send them this video 5 times. And they still will say, well, but. And so it's like Hitler said, it's easier to fool someone than to try to get someone to admit that they've been fooled.
Mm-hmm. Amen, Chad. Jesus spent some time teaching that there's a right place for truth to be spread out and there's a wrong place for truth to be spread out.
Dude, does anybody in our right mind, I'm just telling you, do you think Jesus Christ would want us to inject into our body the stuff that's in a vaccine? And I'm going to tell you, as Rich said, it's going to be the church going to lead the charge. Church is going to lead the charge. And if you stand up and you say, my family's not going to take that vaccine, the church is going to use peer pressure to make you feel bad so that you have to.
I don't think Jesus would want us to murder babies at any point in time and then put those babies in those vaccines.
I don't think so, Tom. That's having the baby die for you, isn't it? And isn't that really what it is? The baby, the little baby's being aborted so you could live? I think we have amazing. We have a backward.
But coach, my pension is heavily invested in pharmaceuticals. But coach, I'm not going to be able to retire with my yacht.
We got it, don't we? You get it. Hey, I want to talk about this, or I'm not going to get off of it. I saw Bob Evans' gift yesterday. I really saw it. I've seen it before, but I saw it yesterday. I saw his mind working as he's trying to figure out how to get that cross up on sky high and how to light it. And last Sunday, when we had our little get together at Sky High, I asked the question: Do you know what your gifts are? I'm talking to you. Do you know what your gifts are? And that, by the way, have you ever asked anybody if they know what your gift is? Because it's my belief that most of us don't have any idea our giftings. We don't really do. You know, things that are giftings come natural to us. They come natural. And because they come natural to us, we don't recognize it as a gift because it is just the way we are. It's the way we've always been. I enjoy fixing things. And we don't see it as a gift. We see it as the way we are. I enjoy playing music. Well, that's a gift. No, it's just the kind of the way I am. My dad played music. Yeah, really? Yeah. I like to fix cars. You know, I think maybe being a mechanic's your gift. Well, not just always like doing it. Right? I like hunting, fishing. Man, I love to go fishing. Do you ever think that maybe that was a gift? No. That's just something I like to do in my spare time. And what we struggle. I think we struggle spiritually because we don't. Oh, please get this. We struggle spiritually because we don't realize our gift is not necessarily spiritual. I can pull them all up here. Trust me, I can pull them all up here. All the spiritual gifts. And, I can get list them all. And we spiritualize our gifts. Well, are you a prophet? Are you an evangelist? Are you a pastor? Are you a teacher? And all these spiritual gifts. And, you got the gifts of the help. And you got I got the whole list here. I can open up to all these spiritual gifts that you can have. And yet we've been so spiritualized that we can't even look around and see just in the everyday thing that we do, that's our gift. And our gift doesn't have to be spiritual. But wouldn't it be good if it was used for spiritual matters? Not that it's a spiritual gift. It is a natural gift that you have been born with. But we spiritualize it. And you walk into the church and you sit down and say, what's your gift to the average person? And they look back at you. They don't know what to say. I know what they say because I saw it happen again Sunday. They said, because see, they've been spiritualized. What's your gift, brother? You know what they say? Helps. Now, I was nice Sunday. Just because I was in a nice mood. But I wanted to say, what the heck's that mean? Helps. Who told you had the gift of helps? Why, brother, you got the gift of helps. What is it? What? See, Bob Evans has the gift of fixing things, and it helps me. The gift of helps, I don't care what the Bible says, isn't a gift. It's something you do with the gift. You help. Because why? You have the gift. By the way, Mark Trump, you still didn't take my deck back, get that thing fixed for me. You forgot that. See, I trust Mark Trump. Why? Because Mark doesn't have a gift of helps. He has a gift of fixing things, and it helps.
Hey, Coach, I did look at it. You know, and I went down there and looked at it. We're going to get it next time, but we decided.
I'm just pulling your leg. I'm just pulling on your leg.
Hey, I'll give you that gift another time, okay?
Would you understand, right, Mark? And are you not happiest in your walk when you are exercising your gifts? Yes or no?
Amen, Coach. Heads down.
So we try to spiritualize everything. Because we try to spiritualize everything that, I have the gifts of faith. I have the gift of wonder-working power. I got the gift of prayer. I've got, those are spiritual gifts. Okay. What is your natural gifting? What do you like to do? Because if you figure out what you like to do, you're probably going to find your gift buried in there somewhere. Now here, come here. I'm going to stop a minute. I'm going to open it up here a minute. I want some of you to come in here and tell me something that you know you're good at. You know you're good at it. In fact, I've heard Roger Weaver say before on this show that in his church environment, he often feels like he's not useful because he has the tools and the giftings to help, and they don't ask him to use them. Is that right, Roger?
Dave?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm one of many men in my church and others who feel this way. I teach Sunday school for 10 years to youth. The Lord uses me through the Holy Spirit. They tell me to stop cussing, but yet so I stop saying one cuss word every 6 months. And they tell me your class is over. Do they tell me there's another class? No, they're just, you're done.
Hey, like, Roger?
Well, I think I've been effective for a while, haven't I?
Yeah, that's, but it's not, they're not looking for you to be effective.
No.
Roger. The truth be known, on the looking at the situation in your particular case, it's not that they're not asking you to exercise your gift with the people in the congregation. It's they are keeping you from.
Yes. Well, yes.
There's no place for your gift, Roger. There's no place for your gift. That's what it is. They've got to come out, and we've spiritualized our gifts. Say, Roger, do you have a gift of faith? You said, no, I got the gift of advice. I got the gift of wisdom and the gift of advice. No, I don't have the gift of faith, and no, I don't have the gift of helps. What do you do, Roger? What are you good at? That's a gift. How can we take that thing that you're good at and plug it in? How can we do
that? I don't have the answer, and I don't want to. I'm a big boy with big boy pants, but it's led to terrible frustration for me because I'm tired of fighting to use whatever gift I might have.
Amen. Okay, so let me stop again, Roger. Let me open it up. Somebody else tell me their gift that you can't find any place to use. So the floor is open because I think this is the greatest mismanagement of gifting that the body of Christ has. It's just awful. It is just awful. Men do not know that there's more place to play. Who's trying to come in here?
Hey, Jeff.
Go ahead, Jeff. Now, come on in, Jeff.
Yeah, this is usual. I was in the Navy, a printer, a lithographer, and a lot of repetitions in the task. Now, technology's pretty much killed it, but I can use the ability from repetition. When I have like 5,000 booklets to staple, to printing to complete form, collate in this way over and over again, I have the patience to take the task at hand that's repetitive to get the job done.
Well, that's a gift, Jeff, because if you do that, I don't have to, because that ain't my gift. What do you got, Jack? Wasn't it Jack tried to come in?
No, this is Gary.
Hey, Gary, go ahead, Gary.
Couple things, you know, my passion and the organizing, you know, events such as a civics class, a constitution class, or anything to do with political activism. Those are a couple things right there. I also love to drive too.
Gary, are they using that gift at your church?
Nope,
not using that. No place to plug that in. Somebody else, come on in here. Come on,
hey, Coach, if you may. There's also the two-edged side of this, and I'm hearing these, and they're all absolutely correct. I love to spurn people on unto good works as a pastor. But then there are those who do have these gifts who are afraid to use them because they believe that they might not do it right. It might not be good. They might not preach it or do it like Jesus did it. And, brother, that's the fearful. And that is the one who has the talents. He buries them in the ground. He says, because God was demanding. I was afraid that I would fail. I can't do this.
So, Dale, that's the job of the coach, or dare I say it, the pastor, to get that man in position to use his gift effectively. And men don't do that. Men don't say, hey, listen, I'm really good at that. Can I do that? I'm really good at that. Because we've been taught in our churches that that's arrogant. That's arrogant. You shouldn't be. You're bragging. No, that's my gift. I love doing it. Jeff Nell likes to collate. Are you kidding me? Send that boy some materials. I don't know anybody that likes doing that. But we don't. Anybody else? Come on. Somebody. Come on. What's your gift? What do you like to do?
Hey, Coach, it's Craig. I like prison ministry. I do prison ministry. And, you know, it's you have to be able to talk to people in a certain way. I learned that in my career in the fire department. You know, we would go into homes of executives of Northrop and Marriott. You had to be able to talk to them, and you had to go out here and talk to the guy that was drunk on the side of the road that, you know, you need to tell him to get up and move and pour his bottle of booze out. And so, mm-hmm. You know, I have that ability to talk, up high, and I also have the ability to communicate to the poor guy on the street and be sympathetic to both of them.
So, Craig, would you think that's a gift?
I believe it is. It's a gift. The question is, you know, are you using it as God has intended you to do?
There you go.
You got to seek out God's will in your life. You got to find out what that is, and then you got to embrace it, and then you got to walk in it.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Coach, yes. First off, that's because Craig's got a captive audience. I'm kidding. That's just prison ministry. I got a captive audience. But
I do. Remember, they are captive, you know.
Hold on 1 second. When I was up at Sky High, I told you, and this is my life, whatever I'm doing, everything I'm doing is ministry. Everything. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Everything is about ministry.
Amen. It should, Dale, it is about using your gift for the advancement of the kingdom. Using your gift. Now, listen, Bob Evans, I bet if we got Bob on here and he started telling you all the different things he could do, we would all be amazed that he's such a handyman in all the things that he does. And you know what? I couldn't pay Bob. He wouldn't take money. Why? It's his gift. He wants to exercise his gift. He wants to use his gift as a gift. Coach, I don't want money for that. And see, we have so much pride that we don't receive another man's gifts very well. And so I know, let's say, pick one. Let me pick Trump. Let me pick Joe Allen. I mean, I feel guilty when Joe Allen drives up here to help with the electric at Sky High, and drives back home and gets hit by a deer, two deer. I feel guilty. Man, he went out of his way and volunteered and did all that stuff. Oh, golly, why would I feel bad when I gave Joe the opportunity to exercise his gift to advance the kingdom of God? We've got the absolute worst mindset about this whole thing and how it's supposed to operate. Pull up, if you will, Sheldon, the parable of the talents. It says talents. And I think this is very, very serious. Talents is giftings. It's gifting. Yes, somebody heard. I didn't hear who it was.
Yeah, Coach, it's me. And you got to approach the subject of what people think of another man's gift. There's always those who see a gift, and then they're going to point at it and poke and condemn and criticize and bite back and all of this just because a man figured out how to serve and is willing to do it. He immediately becomes a target to the brethren, the brothers. Mm-hmm. What's up with that, Coach? What's up with
I don't know what it is. Yes.
You know, I believe my gift is, as I love to cook and prepare food, and it's a selfish reason because I love to watch people enjoy eating my food.
Mm.
But even a simple thing like making a sandwich makes a difference, doesn't it? What did y'all think about those sandwiches down there in Florida?
Yeah, that's right. And Larry, not only that, you're exercising your gift. You feel good about yourself as you're exercising your gift. And nobody's gift is more important than anybody else's.
What I've done with my stimulus money is I purchased a nice, good-sized trailer to pull behind my vehicle. And I've got all kinds of cooking equipment on it. I've got to put an outdoor sink on it yet that I can either hook up with a garden hose to have a sink, and I'll have a drain hose too to get it to a drainable area. And once I've done that, I am ready to set up a kitchen that can literally cook any meal anywhere.
Mm. So, Larry, what you're saying, and I used to run into this problem in coaching. The good players want the ball. Get me the ball. Coach, get me the ball. Coach, throw it to me. People want to exercise their gifts. And nobody throws you the ball in church. Nobody throws you the ball. They never ever say, hey, here you go, weave. Roger, down, get it. Go down there 10 yards and cut to your left. I'm going to throw it to you. And here, go. Run with it. Doesn't happen in church. The pastor has the gifts. The pastor uses his gifts. You don't use yours. Not trained to. Yeah, come in.
Hey, Coach, I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to want to hear this. You probably already know. But the closest thing to a pastor is a head football coach. And I'm going to tell you something. You know as well as I do, I coached 21 years, you coached 30-something. A head football coach has more influence on young men than any school teacher, any police officer, any preacher, any parent. We have more influence over a young man than anyone, and it's how we use that influence and that authority that's going to set out the future of that young man's life. And it's really scary, the amount of influence.
Amen. Yeah, I'll for that, Alan.
If you are helping a young man develop his gift, you'll have to run him out of the door. He'll be there every day because you're helping him develop his gift. Now, you're helping him develop his gift for a selfish reason, because why? It's going to advance the kingdom. It's going to advance the team. We want you to be strong. We want you to be fast. We want you to be bigger, faster, and stronger for your sake, because that's your gift, but it helps to advance what it is that we're trying to do around here. And men are sitting in the pew, nobody ever calling on them to block anybody, tackle anybody, intercept a pass. They watch the game and have no active participation in the game. And that's why, as Alan was saying, coaching. See, I never go anywhere when I look at a young guy, still to this day, when I see a guy for the first time, I immediately size him up. Boy, there's a wide receiver. There's an outside linebacker. Boy, there's a defensive tackle. Man, there's an inside linebacker. Whoa, there's a running back. Goes through my head. Because why? I recognize the gift. And I say, oh, there. That's where I'd put him. And how many of you walk inside the church and the pastor looks at you and recognizes your gifts and plugs you in to where we can best advance, build the kingdom and advance it? I'd say it never happens. Never happens. Coach. And if I have the ability to plug you in so you can use your gift, and I don't do it, to me, it's sin. That's what I think.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Again, question now. How about, it might be more likely if you're a female that you might be plugged in with your gift?
Well, because we're right, you know, yes. The answer is yes. Hang on. I got to get to this. Get that scripture up there real quickly. Golly, this is good. This is really good. I'm going to need more time to break this thing open. Maybe that's why I was having a hard time getting into it. Folks, I think it's serious.
Dave?
Yeah.
I'll get clients who will come in and pay me $300 an hour, and I counsel them. They listen to me more and better than 3/4 of the believers I'm around. You know, the idea being is the pagans will listen to the counsel. The pagans will understand when their finances are a mess. The pagans will understand when they're, you know, doing this and that. But if you bring that gifting into a Christian environment, unless it flows with what that person wants, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
They don't hear it, do they? Huh? So I'm here. I got up on the screen Matthew 25. Scroll on down now, Sheldon, because this is talking about the virgins, but it's keeping your lamps trimmed and wise and all that stuff. But I want to get down to where it talks about talents. Maybe I'm not in the right. I think I am. There it is. Stop. For the kingdom, it says, you went too far, man. Go back up to 13. I think it was right there. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Kingdom. Who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. Jesus traveled into a far country, brought stuff with him, gave him his goods. And then to one he gave 5 talents. Maybe you can fix cars and play the guitar and play the piano and sing. Maybe you got 5 of them. And he delivered his goods. He gave 1 5 talents, and to another he gave 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several abilities, and he straightway took his journey. He left all of his talents, left everything he had, and he took off. And likewise, And to the one he gave 5 talents, another 2. Then verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And so the other guy with the 2, he did the 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his talent. His money, they call it, but it's his talent, skill. After a long time, the Lord of the servants comes and reckoned with him. What a word that is. He reckoned with him, I reckon. And he said unto the guy, get 5 talents. He said, man, what'd you do with all that? He said, oh, you won't believe it. I got 5 more. Well, I said, "Woo, man, way to go, bud! Woo-hoo! Expanding that kingdom. Thanks. Well done. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to really advance you because, woo, you can get it done. Keep going, Sheldon. On down, 22. And he also, that had received two talents, came and said, "Lord, what'd you do with that?" And he said, "Well, Lord, I got the two other ones." The Lord said, "Yeah, well done, man. Good job. Been faithful over a few things. So I'm going to advance you too. You're getting a promotion." And then he, which had received just that one talent, nobody ever pointed it out to him. Nobody ever coached him up on it. Nobody ever told him how to use it. And nobody ever made a demand on it. Said, "Lord, I knew you were a tough man, buddy. That you reap where you didn't sow, and you gathered where you hadn't strawed. And I was afraid, Lord. I was afraid. Nobody ever called on me, and I never raised my hand, and I just kind of hid back here and hoped nobody ever noticed me. And I was afraid, and I hid it. And Lord, here I am. I'm giving you back that one. I'll give it back to you, the one that you gave me. Took care of it." Lord said, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I didn't sow. And you knew that I gather where I hadn't strawed. You knew that. And you ought this, therefore, to have put my money at least into the bank and got me some interest on it. You didn't even do that. Therefore, I want you all to do this. I want you to take the talent from that guy who sat on his butt and give it to that guy that's got 10. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. Get him away from me." There's going to be some weeping and some gnashing of teeth. See, it's a spiritual responsibility, folks, that comes along with your talent. With whatever your skill set is, you have a responsibility before the Lord to use that. But you can't use it if you don't know what it is. It's like somebody said to me the other day, "Coach, you just seem to have the power of pissing people off." I said, "Praise the Lord. At least I'm using it. And see, we spiritualize everything too much. We spiritualize it. And I just want to try to encourage all of us today to take a good hard look at our lives and look at where we are. What is it we do? What are we good at? Why are we not using it? My wife, God bless her, she's a servant, man. When she found out that there were going to be a bunch of people coming to Sky High this last weekend, she was nervous as an old hen. Do you understand? It was her gift. It wasn't a burden to her. It was a burden to her. The responsibility was a burden to her because she wants to honor the Lord in everything she does. And so the details mattered. Who's coming? Who's staying where? Who's eating here? She drove me crazy. But it is her gifting. It's her gifting. And no matter how much I said to her, "Honey, it's going to be okay. You always do a good job with it." And she would say, "Yeah, but what about this? What about this? What about this?" And then everybody shows up and boom, she goes into action. And wow. And then Sunday night, she was asleep about 6 o'clock. She was drained. And she didn't even always recognize it as a gift. She didn't want any money for it. She didn't want any pat on the back. She just wanted to serve. Help me end this thing out here. We got a minute left.
Coach, I had a dream Saturday night. It was a very short dream. It woke me up, frightened me to death. I saw this huge white archway door. It was huge.
White. Can you still hear me, Coach?
Yes.
So this huge bright white door, and this thing was closing, and it was so heavy and so massive, so large. It was like being in a big movie theater, and you could hear, you know, how the background noise is, and it was closing. There was probably maybe 10 foot or 12 foot left as it was closing, and I woke up immediately. Coach, we on the very tail end of this thing, brother. That old door, And Matthew 25 is shutting, son, quickly. We better be ready.
We better be ready. Let me finish it with this, Alan. Folks, listen. When you are using your gift, you don't need rewarded for using it. It's your gift. It's a gift to you for you to use. And men in particular get frustrated because they come out and they exercise their gift here or wherever it might be. And at the end of the day, nobody acknowledges them. Well, my friend, if you're exercising your gift to be acknowledged or rewarded, you better check your heart. Now, I always try to acknowledge and reward anyone who's serving with me. I always try. But I've had people get mad because I didn't acknowledge what they did. I feel guilty. I feel bad about it. But if you're doing it so that everybody knows you did it, you're doing it for the wrong reason. One body, many members, a lot of giftings. We'll crack this thing open a little bit more tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you.